haven't looked at it.
Maybe it's about $15 a month.
I'll sponsor 1 month.
Okay.
No, I'm serious. Do you have PayPal?
I do. Okay, so we'll see what we do. Let's start this right now, and we can discuss what we want to do. So when we last left Avshalom, remember Avshalom? He was David's son. He's the beautiful one with the long hair, and he had his brother murdered. But David finally welcomed him back to Yerushalayim, left him in, and then left him with a, as Rav Bazak put it, a nishika kara, a cold. That basically said, you come back, but we don't really want to see you here. And so what does he do with that? Source one, as soon as he's welcomed back to the palace, he decides to take advantage of it. By at the beginning of Shmuel Bet, Perek Tet Vav, Pesuk Aleph, so a new Perek, and it's by Himeachreichen. And after this, by Yaslol Avshalom Merkavav Susim. Avshalom made himself a chariot and horses, v'chamishim ish ratzim l'panavi, and 50 people running before him. He's going to take advantage of his position, and it starts with this idea of Bahi me'achreichen, and that expression, we've seen that before. This is the beginning of Perek Gimel, source 2. Bahi achreichen, not me'achreichen, achreichen, v'avshalom ben David achot yafa. Avshalom had a beautiful sister, Shema Tamar. V'yaveh Amnon ben David, and Amnon loved her. Tamar. This expression of Vayhi Achrechen means here's a new story connected to the previous one, but this is bad. It's not presage good news. And that's the way the Gemara and Megillah puts it. Source 3. Vimar Rabbi Levi, Vitam Rabbi Yochanan. Either Rabbi Levi or Rabbi Yochanan said, Devarze Mesurat Biadena. We have a tradition, Shmian Shei Knesset Gedola, from way back, Anshei Knesset Gedola, 300, 200 BCE. Which is what? Komakom shenemar vayehi. If the Torah, if the Tanakh starts out with a story with vayehi, inu el roshan sar. This means pain. This is not going to be a story that can make you happy. And we see Esther vayehi b'mei Achashverosh and Havai Haman right afterwards, and Rut vayehi b'mei Shodav Shoftim, and that was the Ra'av, and vayehi ki achel Adam larov, and that was the beginning of the flood. So this will not be a good story. This obviously is a story of the rebellion of Avshalom. That's what we're getting to in this parak. And there's an interesting halacha about this. And that's source 4. Continuing Gemara Megillah. Mase Avshalom Nikro Metargem. Gemara here is talking about Haftorahs. And time of the Gemara, they didn't have art scroll. And so basically, if you got the Maftir Aliyah, you picked a section of Tanakh that you liked that you thought was relevant. I hope you ask the Gabbai about it first.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm fine with it. And that's why we have all these different minhagim, because those developed over time. People say these were good ones. Okay, but in terms of what the original development of the halakha of Haftorah was, you read a section of Tanakh. And there are rules about what you could or couldn't pick, how long it has to be, what kind of topics you should pick. But the Gemara there is telling us that Avshalom, Masa Avshalom Nikra. You could pick Masa Avshalom as the Haftorah. Umetargem. And again, they didn't have an art scroll, so they would, if you read something, either Torah, Haftorah, you'd read a line, and then there would be official translator that would read the authorized translation one line at a time. And again, so this Masa Avshalom Nikra Umetargem, this you could use, the story of Avshalom you could read, and it was translated to the public. Gemara says, Pshita, that's obvious. Why would you not want to do this, Perek? Ma'adatema, what might you have said? Lechus liyakarei to David. Maybe I'm worried about David's honor. David has not come out looking good in all this. David is clearly weak, has no authority. He can't control his own children. So maybe you'd say this is an inappropriate thing to read in public. Because it's not. It doesn't demonstrate the honor of David. Kamash Malan comes to teach us, yes, this is fine. This halakha of Masa Avshalom Nikra Umetargem comes to teach us that you can do this. So the Mishpatot Zahav, the source that I, the anthology that I like, brings an interesting idea about this Kamash Malan. This comes to teach us. Source 5. Read to the Sefer Ber Moshe. I saw in the book that it was called the Bar Moshe. Shemeva'er teshuvat ha-Gemara. Explains the Gemara's answer of Kamash Malan, which usually Kamash Malan means the Gemara is explaining why I had to tell you this rule. Even though it sounds, it's pshita, it's obvious. Halacha teaches us something new. But here Kamash Malan is not, he says, is not talking about the Gemara teaches us something, but that the Parsha of Avshalom teaches us something. That we intentionally want to read Avshalom, which we don't, it's not one of the regular Haftarot, but we should do that because the Parsha itself teaches us something. Kamash Malan. Shalomdim mei Parsha hazu limudim gedolim v'niskavim. We learn many great and elevated things from this parsha. L'chin korin ota u'metargimin. That's why we read it and we translate it. V'shel ha'limudim shelomdim mimena. Because of the things we can learn from it. Izu tshuvat gemara of kamash malan. That it teaches us. Not the gemara teaches us, but that the parsha teaches us something. So what do you learn from this story of Avshalom? Number one, don't let your hair grow if you need to run away, right? We know that one. And also about gava and pride and those sorts of things. But the thing, biggest thing about it is the halacha of what we're going to call the ben sora umoreh, the implications of a stubborn and rebellious son. Because we know that we talked about the fact that it says that Avshalom's mother was Macha bat Melech Geshur. His mother was the daughter of the king of Geshur. I talked about the evidence that it wasn't a political marriage. That was that she was a captive in battle. And that's the law of the idea of an Eshet Yifat Tohar, that David actually saw her, took her captive, married her. That was, Avshalom was the child, and then he ends up rebelling against his father. And that's the connection of the Parshio in Parsha Ki Tetzeh. Source 6. There are four paragraphs, one after the other one.
First, so this would be a good haftarah for the week that we read the Torah reading on Ben Sorer Moreh.
Is that?
It would be, I'm saying. I'm not
right,
saying
yeah,
it is.
That would be a perfect haftarah. Yes. Yeah. I'm going to suggest doing that. But no, everyone wants to do what the art scroll has now. So this would be a good idea to have as a haftarah. So it starts off. Read
where
the
where is it? Danny.
What?
Ben Sorer Morer. What
parsha? Varim Perek Chaf Aleph.
So maybe
no,
we'll
that's start. This one.
It's Parsha Ki Tetzeh.
Is that coming up or just over?
No, I mean, that's in Devarim, so we've got. That's one of the summertime parakim. So
it ends up in
August.
If we're still in lockdown, you could read it.
I can do it myself because I'm doing it on my own, right?
Object.
Read this paragraph. No, but I have to clear it with the Gabbai first, and he's kind of stubborn in my show.
Who's that? Who's
me.
The Gabbai? Oh, the Gabbai. Oh, okay.
I also have to show every time. Okay, but look at the sequence of Parshiot. We know the sequence of Parshiot. Source 6, Varita Bashivia Eshishiva Tor. And you go to battle, and you see among the prisoners a beautiful woman. V'chashakta ban, you want her, v'lakata l'chalisha, and take her as a wife. And... immoral, this is wrong, but whereas Dibra Keneged Yeser Hara allows this to happen, puts certain limitations on it. But next paragraph is the law of the hated wife. Kitien al Ishtay Nashim, the man has two wives, Achat Ahuva Bachat Sinua, one beloved, one hated. Yodulo Banim Havago Sinua, Via Bera Bachar Lasnia, the oldest one is to the hated wife. Next paragraph. Kitien al Ish Ben Serer Morer, person has a son who is stubborn and rebellious, and in a shomea b'kol aviv v'kol imo, doesn't listen to his father or mother. I have no idea what that means. Yisrael Tau, and they try disciplining, v'yishma lehem, doesn't listen to them. What happens? They bring him to Beit Din, there are all the conditions on it. Ragu'amuho kol she'i robavanim, and he's stoned to death. Who made? V'yartar rami kibachan, you'll wipe out this evil from your midst. Chol Yisrael Yishmu V'Yira'o, and all of Israel will listen, and we'll see, or we'll be afraid. We'll learn from this. Next paragraph. V'chiyah V'ish Chet Mishpat Mavet V'umay. If there's someone who is guilty of a capital crime and is put to death, V'talita Otol Eitz, and the law is that the person is hung after being put to death as a demonstration until nightfall.
I mean, Avshalom got kind of hung on
the Ooh, right. That sounds like we got kind of the narrative fits the story here, doesn't it? It's very, it works. That's obviously where we're going with this. Yes, right. That's right. And the idea of this one after the other in the Torah doesn't say, well, if this happens, then this, but this is the idea, this is smuchim, that why do we put these in sequence? Because there is a sequence there, and that's the Midrash Tachumas, or seven. Kol man de nasiv yifat Torah, anyone who marries an ish yifat Torah, or a captive, nafik minei ben soror morah, will inevitably have a rebellious child from this. This is not a good way to start a marriage, or have it raise a family. Shekach matzinu b'David, because that's what we saw by David, Al Shechabed Macha bat Talmei Melech Geshur, because he wanted Macha, the daughter of the king of Geshur, Zetomel Melchama, when he went out to war, Yatzim Meno Avshalom. That's who Avshalom was. Shebikish Larogoto, that Avshalom wanted to kill David. Veshachavim Nashav, and Avshalom slept with David's wives, Lenei Kol Yisrael, out in public, Lenei Hashemesh, before the people and out in the open. We haven't seen that yet, but that's coming. And thousands and tens of thousands of Jews died in the civil war, and created a permanent division in Israel. And we'll see that. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin puts this personally to David. This is a story that is describing David as he's running away from Avshalom, as Avshalom has taken over Yerushalayim, and David is a fugitive trying to get across the Jordan. And Amar, and it's right, it says Hushia Arki, one of David's advisors, we'll see him, he will play a prominent role, tells David, my time at Kanasivat Yifatoar, what were you thinking that you married this Ish Yifatoar, that now her son is going to try to kill us now? What were you thinking? Amar Leis, so David says back, Yifatoar Rachmana Yishare. The Ish Yifatoar, the Torah says it's okay. The Torah says it was fine. I'm not lying. So Hushai says back, didn't you look at what came next? Right, what's samuch to that? Didn't you see what the next paragraph was all about, your rebellious child, and then you end up with the hanging part? Right? It says, Ki yish ben sura moreh. Konosei yifat Torah yesh lo ben sura moreh. That this is what happens here. And the Chacham Sofer makes Phyllis's point that the next paragraph after that is the hanging paragraph. Again, we end up that if you end up with a ben sura moreh, this is what happens, is that you end up with a child with a chet mavet v'humat, committing capital crimes and end up being hung. Source 9, yichia be'ish chet mishpat mavet, if there's a person with commits capital crime v'humat, put to death, tuito toal etz, and you hang the body. Yadua Masha Amru Chazal. We know what Chazal said. And Ruthie knows what this Rosh Tevot here means, right?
She might be chopping something up, Danny.
Okay. But anyway, so if you see Rosh Tevot, it ends with an ayin hey, that means it means Alav HaShalom. So this shit, David HaMelech Alav HaShalom, Nasayif Fator, married an Ishi Fator, Yasser Menav Shalom, and Avashalom was the son from that union. And he should have learned the fact that one paragraph comes after another. Yimsa ben sura mireh. Yikra nirmoz bo Avshalom. That this, the hint here is that this is that Avshalom was this ben sura mireh. Shalom hetziv bo aviv miyamav. That his father never disappointed him. Even after all of this, his father never says no, right? He's got this merkava as soon as he comes back. And this idea that David lo hetzivo aviv, that David never disappointed Avshalom, isn't explicit in the text. That's the term used about Adonio, the other brother who also basically rebels against David. But it seems clear from the context that David never says to Avshalom no. He doesn't want to talk to him.
Well, he kind of said, no, you can't come to see me. You can't That's come true. To Yerushalayim 2 years.
Right. So I mean, he does say it, but he never actually tells him what's wrong. Just, I'm not going to talk to you. That's the extent of his...
Also, he was already grown and formed. Maybe this means as he was growing up.
Right. I agree. I think that's true. But I say that part's not actually in the text. I think that's implied. I think it's a reasonable thing to say that clearly that is the implication that Avshalom grew up expecting himself to be the crown prince. Everyone loved him. David loved him. Everyone, he's great. And no one has said, hold back. The Asera Toa never really disciplined him. But something came bo, and in the end, the next paragraph happened. Betalito tol ala etz. The paragraph of being hung on the tree happened. Sharei nitla b'sa'aro, that he ends up being hanged by his own hair.
We haven't actually gotten to that story, have we?
No. We haven't. The rebellion hasn't happened. All Absalom is sitting there. He's finally back in the palace, and he's got his chariot and people in front of him. Everyone is Halel Ma'od. Everyone sees him, starts saying, Baruch Hashem, I got to see you.
Yeah.
So obviously, Absalom is not a literal Ben Sero Moreh. That only applies to 13-year-old kids who brought the Beit Din. But it's the archetype of what a Ben Sero Moreh is all about. If it's a child who rebels against their parents. And the Gemara says about the actual halakha ben Sorer Moreh that it never happened. The technical idea of bringing a 13-year-old child to court and having that child stoned, that would not actually happen. And that's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Tanya. Ben Sorer Moreh lo haya, this halakha of ben Sorer Moreh would never happen. Lo atid liot, never will happen. Lama nichtav, why is it written down? Why is the Torah saying it? Drosh v'kabel sachar, it's to learn from. There are lessons there. And that's an incredibly important line there about what that means is lo haya, and you know, it's a statement of Torah Shebal Peh, but does it mean that that was part of the divine Torah Shebal Peh? As in Hashem tells Moshe, here, write this down, but trust me, it's not gonna happen. Or was that something by Chazal saying, they basically they have the power to be mevatel and naseh, say no, this can't happen. We're not going to let this happen.
Or it's a historical observation, you know.
Okay, but the lo atid liyot also is implied in there also. We're implying that it can never happen.
Right.
Is that, you know, what? Who's saying that is the question. It gets the whole question of what does Torah Shebal Peh mean, and who has the authority to decide that. And that's a fascinating question we're not getting into now. If you want to ask those kinds of questions, this is one place to start. So Rabbi Yonatan, however, says, nope, that's not, this statement is not true. Verse 11. Rabbi Yonatan, ani re'itiv, I saw it happen. Yeshavti al kivro, and I saw, and I sat on the kid's grave.
Oi.
Oi. So Oi is right. So Rabbi Arya Kapler, Arya Kapler, Center for Modern Torah Leadership. Great guy to listen to. Close enough to be an apikaris to be interesting. Lots of radical ideas about what it means to be a Torah observant Jew.
Are you talking about the Arya Kaplan who had a big family and unfortunately?
Arya Klapper. No, not Kapler. Arya Klapper.
Oh, okay.
Now he's in Boston.
Yeah.
Anyway. Charlie learned with him for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so did Leon there. Aaron did too. He almost came to the wedding. But anyway, worth looking at. And he goes in, and he's more interested in that question about, you know, rabbinic authority and how do we decide things. But he points out that there are huge problems with his statement of Rabbi Yonatan. Number one, Rabbi Yonatan was a Kohen. The Tani was a Kohen, so he can't go anywhere near anybody's grave.
Oh, okay.
Number two, he was a Tana in the second century CE, well after the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, well after anybody was judging Dini Nefashot, capital crimes. So what does Ani Re'itiv mean if the case never happened when he was alive? And third, there's a lacha about sitting on a kever in general. Like, what do you mean he sat on the kever? What was he doing? You're not supposed to sit down on anybody's kever. So you could say that Rabbi Yonatan was not being literal. And this is Shimon Schwab from KAJ Adat Yeshurun, source 12, who tries to explain this Rabbi Yonatan and looking at the talking about the parsha in Kitetse about Ben Sero Moreh. It starts with a great line that I like, "Ulule de mistafina," which means if it weren't for the fact that I was so afraid. That's what you say if you're about to say something radical, so you try denying it. So this is a paralipsis. I'm not going to say the following.
Then you say it.
And then you say it. So if I was going to say something radical, I would say the following. But I'm not going to say this, okay? This is not what I'm saying. Leidem stefina amina. If it weren't for the fact that I was afraid, I would say the following about this story, okay? Because Rav Schwab is Agudas Yisrael, Motzei is Agudas Yisrael, very right way. He's never going to say that the Gemara doesn't mean what it says. But if he was going to say such a thing, this is how he would read it non-literally. Alpi divrei Chazal, and the way that the Chazal say that miyom shechara Beit Midash, as when the Beit Midash was destroyed, afal pi shebatla Sanhedrin, even though there is no Sanhedrin, we don't judge capital crimes. Dina arba mitot lo batlu. The idea of those punishments that still exists, and God makes sure that people get the punishment they deserve. Mishtechayev sechila, someone who in fact deserves the punishment of stoning, or no from a god will fall from the roof, or chaya darso will be attacked by animals, misha chayav sereifa, someone who the halacha is should be killed by burning, or no fell with lake will fall into a fire, or nachash machesho, or will get a snake biting them. So we can see those kind of implications of capital crimes. So what are we going to propose, or what are we not going to say about Rabbi Yonatan's comment? He saw, maybe he saw the grave of someone who, a boy who was 13. He borrowed low, and he looked into the story. Shaya mitnaheg the gamrik ben sora merah, and realized this was a classic ben sora merah child. Mamizesh afshel dano to beitin, and saw from this that even though he didn't actually have it actually happened, din ben sora umaret lo batal, that this the idea of ben sora still happened. So that he didn't actually see it happen. He didn't actually sit in the grave, but you can say that even, you know, which he's not disagreeing with the Gemara about never happened. He's saying that the Derosh Kabel Sechar is, I did that drush. I looked at it and I could see the story happening. And I know that those are the lessons of Ben Sura Mara. And I need to be Yisruo tell it all the lesson that we learned. Yeah, that parents have to speak, have to discipline their children and put limits on them, but have to speak with a common voice, all the things that we talk about that.
That's kind of concerning, though, like in terms of causation. So if somebody dies in a fire, you now ascribe to them, you know, committing.
That's a huge theological problem, and I do not like it. Never do that, okay? I can say it's theoretically possible, but never apply it to a specific case.
Yeah.
You know, okay, that, yes, bad things happen, so I can try to be a better person, but saying bad things happen because of this, and therefore you're guilty?
Yeah.
No, don't do that. Just don't, okay? And yes, for COVID-19, it's not because you said Lashon Hara personally. That's still a good reason to stop saying Lashon Hara, okay? It's two different sides of that. However,
when I read Rabbi Yonatan's very succinct statement, it resonated with me. It's like, we know cases where, you know, kids are horrible and bad things happen, and, you know, we...
Yes. And what's one case we know about where our kids are horrible and bad things happen?
Oh, well, Shalom. But I mean,
that's another way of looking at this story.
Yeah.
Okay? And taking him much more literally.
Yeah.
There is not an actual halachic ben sura merah, but the one we learn from the idea of ben sura merah, and that's Avshalom. And this is again Mishpatot Zahav in Source 13, exactly that. Ridi b'chatam sofer al Torah, and he says, I found in the chatam sofer on the Torah, which that's my comment of I did not find this. Okay, I looked at my what I could for chatam sofer, but I believe him. It's there. So if anybody wants to go look it for this, that would be wonderful. Shemibi etivrei Rabbi Abachia, that the Rabbi Abachia talks about Avshalom being a ben sura merah. But the Chatam Sofer connects it to this Gemara. To Mevar, Mamra Gemara, Ben Sereo Nom Nivra Lahaya, Lamanemra Drosh Kabal Schar. Amro Yonatan, Ani Riti, Vihashavti Kivro. What is he talking about? Shekavana Le Ben Sereo Mure Ka Avshalom. She Al Kivro Shal Avshalom Yashav. He went to the tomb of Avshalom.
Really? Literally, huh?
Literally. So we have a literal thing that is called Tomb of Avshalom. Now, the nice thing about that is it answers all of our questions.
Yes.
Because it's not a tomb. Avshalom's not buried there. We know that.
Avshalom, it'd be hard to sit on that thing.
What?
It'd be hard to sit on that thing, too.
Well, you can see you got a little edge on the on it over there. You could sit next to it, right? And there are no baddies in there. If you're Cohen, you can still sit on there. So this is the way Wikipedia talks about the tomb of Avshalom, Yad Avshalom in Hebrew. We know where that is, right? In Kidron Valley across east of Yerushalayim, the old city.
Yeah.
Right? Tomb of Avshalom, also called Avshalom's Pillar. An ancient monumental rock-cut tomb with a conical roof located in the Kidron Valley in Yerushalayim. A few meters from the tomb of Zechariah and the tomb of Bnei Hazir. Although traditionally ascribed to Avshalom, rebellious king of David, you know the story. Recent scholarship has dated it to the first century CE, which I think is true, right? This clearly is not anything to do with Avshalom himself. This is first century. So it exists in the time of Rabbi Yonatan, who's second century. Mm. Contains a burial chamber inside, which is carved out of the rock directly. It's the same way Petra in Jordan is carved out. It seems to be the same kind of style, but the building on the outside was actually built on top of that. And the last line that I want from Wikipedia, residents of Jerusalem would bring their unruly children to the site to teach them what became of a rebellious son.
Wow.
Okay? That, you're right, your kids cause trouble. We're going to go for a walk in the Kidron Valley. Hey, look over there. That is the tomb of Absalom. We're going to go learn some kind of.
The kid's like, that's an awesome tomb. I want that.
Okay, so we're going to go through the whole haircut and caught in the in the tree and spears through the heart thing. Okay, we have 10 minutes, which would be good because I only have so much to say. So that's the tomb of Avshalom. So that is the way I would read this statement of Rabbi Yonatan. He agrees. The actual story never happened, but we still learn from it, and we still have an actual kever of a Ben Sora Moreh that we can go and take lessons from. And the fact that the actual thing has nothing to do with Avshalom. There's no burial in there. And nothing doesn't matter, right? It's a symbol of what it means. That's a symbol of the rebellion, symbol of the source of the lessons. So what are the lessons of Avshalom? We hinted at that, the Lohitatsev Aviv Me'amo, that his father never disappointed him, never told him no. Because what does he do as soon as he gets back in? He gets to build, he makes himself this chariot with people running in front of him. And that, in fact, is a symbol of royalty. That's a point where David should say, you're back. That's wonderful, but you're not going to be the king. He never tells him that. And we'll see the same thing with Adoniyahu. And say from Malachim, Adoniyahu ben Chagit, Minase, Leimor, Aniyam Loch. And Adoniyahu later was making himself great, saying, I will be the king. Vayaslo Rechu Prashim. He has a chariot and riders, 50 men running in before him. That's a sign of royalty, and that's in the Mishpat HaMelech when people ask for a king from Shmuel. He tells them, if you want a king, be careful what you wish for, you might get it. And here are all the things that the king will do. And number one on that, Surah 16, Zeh Yeh Mishpat HaMelech. This is what the king will do. I say Yimloch Alechem, who will love you. And Bnei'chem Yikah, he'll take your son, the sum loba merkav toh, and he'll put them in his chariots with Parashav and his cavalry, Ratzu with name merkav toh, and they will be running before his chariot. He's going to have an entourage. He's going to induct your children to run in front of the entourage. And Avshalom does exactly that.
And Shmuel knows that's the first thing a melech would do. Everybody knows that that's the first thing.
Right. So clearly that's what Avshalom is doing over here. And the other side of that is that Avshalom's not going to be the king. David knows he's not going to be the king. I think everybody knows that David loves Shlomo, who right now is 7 years old. But he is a symbol of building the Beit HaMikdash later. So David wants Shlomo king, but never says anything. It's one of these open secrets, kind of like when David is anointed. Everybody knew that happened, but no one can say it out loud because Shlomo's going to kill everybody. So this is the way David talks to Shlomo right before David's death. Bima David Shlomo, ani hayayim levavi levnot bayit l'shem Hashem Elokai. I wanted to build a house for Hashem. I wanted to build Beit HaMikdash. But Hashem told me I spilled too much blood. You had too many wars. Lo tibneh bayit lishmi. You will not build this house. Damim rabim shafach ta'artza lifnai. Because you spilled blood. Ni ben lalad l'cha. You will have a child. Hu yeh ish menucha. He will be a man of peace. V'anichuti lo mikol evav. And I will give him respite. I will give him peace from his enemies. We shall be around him. He shlomo yeh shemo. His name will be Shlomo. V'shalom v'sheket ayten al yisrael b'yamav. And I will give peace in his time. So this is the Nubah before that Shlomo is born. The fact that David names him Shlomo is saying, this is my Shlomo. Now, I'm not someone saying it was a Nubah that, oh, look at that. Here's this kid named Shlomo. Obviously, this must be the one. I think it's intentional. David is naming him Shlomo because this is, I got a Nubah that I'm going to have a child named Shlomo. And who you've never bite lishmi, he will build the house. Who you'll leave ben, and he'll ab, I will be his father. He will be my child. And he will establish the dynasty forever. So that's David's attitude towards Shlomo. But he never tells his other sons that. And that's the whole thing in Malachim Perak Aleph, where David finally actually says, no, Shlomo will be the king. So he gives Avshalom this position. He gives him some power. He allows him to be running, get the whole trappings of being the king or the crown prince. But he's not actually going to do that. I think that's part of what the mistake is. He never tells him what's going to happen. That, okay, no, just Avshalom, stop. And we know that he gave him, that David allows him to have this position of power, because when he comes at the end of last Perek, when he calls him back, he says, Vayikra El Shalom, El Avshalom. David calls El Avshalom. And that's in a kind of grammatical point in Tanakh. There's a difference between Vayikra Le, which means to invite, and Vayikra El, which means to assign a role, to address. And this is the Malbim. Looking at in beginning of Parashat Vayikra, when he says, Vayikra Hashem, Vayikra El Moshe. That's not inviting. That's, here's your role. Verse 18. V'tiv dibru b'zeh achronim. There's the Malbim saying that this is a good thing. This made sense what the later Mefarshim said. Jekriya l'plilani, that calling le. We translate both the words as two, but we're using simply a lamed. Moresh shahaya kare rachok. It means that that karu rachok, that the person being called is far away. Rachok mimenu u'shalech achrav, he's being invited or summoned. Sheyavo I love to go there. That's what Vayikra le means. And it goes through all these examples throughout the Torah, throughout Tanakh. It means that the person is standing there, you're not being called from far away, but you're being singled out. Nearby. That's giving honor, and affection. That I'm inviting you with this statement. You can look at this consistently there. So David is Vayikra El Avshalom, which means literally it says Vayikra is giving a calling in English. Here's a mission. We don't know what the mission was.
Doesn't this statement make you want to find a counterexample?
Yes. So now you want to go through all the difference between Vayikra. So look what's interesting. Look at my parish on my Chumash here on Vayikra actually goes through that. All the times of the difference between Vayikra El Moshe, Vayikra Le Moshe. And it works perfectly every time. Okay. Datanavi or Vayikra Lidatan. They're summoned. But it's an interesting distinction. Okay. But here's Vayikra El. And that's the title. That's what it has. That in Divrei Hayamim when it's summarizing David's reign. Verse 20, you have Binyahu ben Yadal, Kreti Pleti, Uvnei David, Harishanim liyad HaMelech. The sons of David were David's right-hand men, second in command. So he's got this power, and he's never. But David never actually goes and says, here, this is the rules, this is what you're going to do, this is what you're not going to do. And that's what ends up in this Ben Sorer Moreh problem. And this is the Moshe Margulot, who is a 15th century Kabbalist, talking about the distinction between the way Avshalom saw David and the way Shlomo saw David, as Shlomo describes it in Sefer Mishlei. Verse 21. We see Shlomo, again, Shlomo writing in Mishlei. Atzmo, we see this by Shlomo himself. Odeno Nar, because he was a little, he was still a child as he's growing up with David. Haya ben chaviv, nechmad laviv limo. He was beloved by his parents. Alken aviv hochicho, and therefore his father would rebuke him. We don't see it explicitly. In Shmuel, we never have any relationship between David and Shlomo. Bitzivo, and he would command him. We're assuming this happened. Chen imo yasru to tamid, and his mother would rebuke him as well. And that's where we get in Mishlei about Melech Masa, Asher, a king who can carry the burden, Asher Yisratu Imo. That's the kind of king, someone who's disciplined as a child. Korchato al Amud Umakehu. And that's also part of the pasuk. I should have put Nukudot there, that he places him on the stand and spanks the child. That's the kind of king you want, someone who was spanked as a child. But Adonijahu and Avshalom never got the rod of discipline. And Adonijahu explicitly says that his father never made him sad. I'm assuming that's what happened to Avshalom. Lama, why? And the reason why is because his father didn't have that much relationship with him. And that's what he says. That's what Avshalom's looking for. That's what Avshalom explicitly says that. When Avshalom's not in the palace, I sent for you. Let me send you to the king. Let me go back. Why did I come back from Geshur? Totally owed on Yisham. It's better that I should be there. I'm here in Yerushalayim and my father won't even talk. Okay, so it's Bayom Avshalom. So he said, why did I bother coming back from Geshur? Totally owed on Yisham. It's better if I'm still there. Let me see the king. If something wrong, let him kill me. Like, that's still better than not having any kind of relationship at all. And that's famous, Elie Wiesel's famous comment that the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is indifference. And I think that's the biggest lesson of the Ben Sorer Umoreh. That's the lesson of what happens with Avshalom and David, is that they get to the point where they're not even talking. And now they can't disagree. They can't work this out. And now we're going to end up moving, getting worse from this, oh, I just want to be here, to, okay, I need to kill my father. That's coming. That's coming up from here on in. So we'll continue this next time. Have a great week.
Thanks, Danny.
Thank you, Danny.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
So, see you guys.
Thank you, Danny.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.